Welcome to the Top Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouse Pod Rocket Academy. I'm your host, Bill Cates, creator of the Cates Academy for Relationship Marketing. In each episode, I interview one of our industry's top performers, getting them to pass on their secrets to success to you, so that you can impact more lives and generate more income. Now, on to the show. Welcome, welcome. We're going to switch things up a little for today's show. Today, I'll be the guest, and I will have the honor and privilege of being interviewed by Mr. Go-Giver himself, Bob Berg. What's that? You've never heard of the Go-Giver series of books? Well, then let me clue you in, and then we'll get on with the show. Bob Berg's book, The Go-Giver, co-authored with John David Mann, sparked a worldwide movement. While part of a four-book series, The Go-Giver itself has sold well over a million copies and has been translated into 30 languages. The Go-Giver was rated number 10 on Inc. magazine's list of the most motivational books ever written. That's pretty big. And was on HubSpot's 20 most highly rated sales books of all time. Can you now see why it's an honor for me to have Bob interview me? I think I first met Bob Berg face-to-face when we were both speaking at a million-dollar roundtable meeting so many years ago. Before Bob became famous for his Go-Giver series of books, he was known for his first book, Endless Referrals. So we're both referral guys at heart. Bob Berg is the founder of the Go-Giver Success Alliance, an online mentorship community for successful entrepreneurs, leaders, and sales professionals. And he publishes the very popular Daily Impact email, which I am a subscriber. Finally, Bob is an unapologetic animal fanatic and serves as part of a South Florida rescue, foster, and adoption organization. Bob Berg, Hall of Fame speaker, zooming in from Jupiter, Florida. Thank you for being my guest host on today's episode of Top Advisor Podcast.
My pleasure. My honor. First, it's always great to speak with you anyway. Secondly, congratulations on this book. You hit another home run, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We'll let the readers be the judge of that, but we'll try. So as Bob was referring to, if you haven't heard by now, my newest book, The Language of Referrals, it was just released, subtitled The Words and Scripts Financial Professionals Use to Gain More Ideal Clients. I wanted to devote a podcast episode to this new book, but I figured rather than me just pontificating for 40 plus minutes, I thought it'd be more fun and interesting for you, the listener, to have Bob Berg interview me. So with that in mind, I now turn control over to the show to Mr. Bob Berg. Bob, you're on.
All right. The tables have been turned. And, you know, Bill, I've read all your books. And I think after every book, I usually email you and say, this is your best one yet. And I think after Radical Relevance, I said, this is your magnum opus. And it was maybe the first, that was maybe the first one that went, there was still referrals, introductions, so forth involved, but that it wasn't the focus. But now you've come back to it.
Right.
So tell us, why is that?
Yeah. So does the world need another book on referrals, right? Well, I think so. I think the industry does. We know how important referrals are. It's always the number one way advisors like to meet clients, because it's the number one way clients like to meet their advisor. I wanted to come out with my latest thinking. Radical Relevance, as you said, was referral oriented, but it was really about how we talk about our value and how we choose the target market and all that. So I wanted to provide my latest thinking around the referral / introduction process. I wanted to talk about what's working now these days, because things change over time. A little bit, at least. The principles don't change, but certainly the tactical elements change. And then ultimately, this book is written in a way designed to give the reader confidence, because that's the most important part of this whole thing around referrals and introductions. It's not rocket science. It's about confidence. And because this book is so tactical in nature, and those listening will see as we go through this interview how tactical we get, that what it's going to do is boost confidence, because now people are going to become more fluent in the language that they need. They're going to find the words that they need to use to feel authentic, that won't hurt relationships, that will boost confidence, and ultimately that will produce better results.
Yeah, so one thing I love that you do is you make a distinction between referrals and introductions. And I love that. And I've now been using that. You know, I use the word referrals for years and years. And when I first learned that from you about introductions, that's a great point. So go into what is the difference, because there is a difference, and what word should we be using?
Yeah, so think of the referral, which is often, especially in financial services, often called the referred lead. Call George, use my name. Well, George doesn't pick up the phone. He doesn't know who he is. He's who's calling. He's wondering who, you know, why does his friend give his name, his number out to somebody, right? It that just doesn't work anymore. It's just so hard to reach people. And it's become harder and harder over time with a barrage of information, with just the way people protect themselves and protect their time. So we've got to think in terms of connection. We've got to think in terms of getting introduced. And the conversation, really, to my mind, whether you bring it up or it's unsolicited, the conversation is not done until you connect and arrange that introduction, which I know we'll get into a little bit here today. Mm-hmm. So I believe we should use the word that represents what we want. So when we're with a client, a prospect, a center of influence, anybody has the ability to connect us with someone, let's use the word that represents what we want, which is introduction, or you could use the word connection. Plus, I've also found that for some folks, advisors and advisory clients alike, some people have the word referral has kind of a negative connotation. It's taken on a negative connotation, and we certainly want to avoid that. So for lots of reasons, let's focus on introductions and connections.
Yeah. And yet, and I know you have a good reason for this, it makes a lot of sense, you still use in the title the language of referrals, not introductions. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should. No, I'm kidding.
It
is purposeful. Well, so one thing you'll learn in my book, Radical Relevance, which talks about marketing and principles of marketing, is one of the most important basic tenets of marketing is to use words, language, concepts that are already in the brains of the intended listener. Right. So if I called the book The Language of Introductions, well, some people might get that, but there's probably a little pause and a little thinking necessary. Right. But I call it The Language of Referrals. Everyone immediately knows what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Now, in the book, and we need to do this when you use a term, but that maybe isn't the main term you want to use. You got to quickly get in there and say, you know, I said this, but here's what I'm talking about. But now that I got your attention, right? So again, it's what's in their brain. I have a colleague of mine, his name's Amira Jones, and he calls it the billboard test. It's like if you're driving down the road and you see a billboard with a message and it makes you think, and then you think a little bit more, and then you finally get it, you've passed the exit, it's too late. Right. So we got to be careful of not letting cleverness get in the way of our message, not letting creativity get in the way of our message. Those things are good and important and we can use them, but not if they get in the way of the message. So hence the language of referrals, but we're really talking about introductions.
Yeah, exactly. So in Radical Relevance, you encourage the readers to, quote, register the book, and that's to gain access to the Radical Relevance Toolkit, the treasure trove of, you know, additional guides and checklists, other tools. Well, you've done the same, which was really cool, with the language of referral. So what's your strategy with that? And while we're at it, how can listeners get a copy of the language of referrals and access the toolkit for themselves and their team members?
Yeah, good question. So when I was writing Radical Relevance, I had so much I wanted to give and say in the book, but if I did that, the book would be too big and people wouldn't read it and it wouldn't do anybody any good, right? I mean, I want people to read the book and benefit hopefully from it. So I created this toolkit of lots of things. So when you look at Radical Relevance, there's a page that says register the book. So the same started to happen for this book, The Language of Referrals. Again, I want it to be a book that one can go through in a fairly reasonable period of time, maybe a 2-hour plane ride or whatever, and get everything you need to get, mark it up, take some notes, maybe go listen to the audio at the same time. But I wanted it accessible. So that's the key, accessibility. And so then we have a lot of other things in the Language of Referrals toolkit. So we've got a success guide, which kind of mirrors the book, but it gives questions and action points and discussion points and things for you. And if you're going through it with your team to talk about, I've got a guide in there about relationships with accountants, attorneys, CPA type relationships, how to make them more productive. I've got a guide in there about the culture you create with your team and what is your team's role in creating this referral culture within your firm, whether you have one person on your team or you have five or six or seven people on your team, what is their role? And there's a bunch of other things, some videos. We're putting a video short course as well in the Language of Referrals toolkit. So go to languageofreferrals.com, languageofreferrals.com. And that's kind of the landing page for the book. There's a little short 3-minute fun video there. And you'll learn a little more about the book. You're going to get a lot here. But from there, you can then click and you know, purchase it on Amazon or our website or Audible or whatever you want to do. So yeah, it's just a way for me to give more value than what's built into the book, you know, that you'll be holding in your hands.
Yeah. So speaking of the book itself, The Language of Referrals, you divided it into 6 parts.
Right.
Could we do an overview of those 6, then maybe dive a little deeper?
Yeah. So part one is the inner language of referrals, the mindset, the thinking. As old Zig Ziglar used to say, perhaps this thinking, he used to call it, right? So we have limited beliefs, you know, and just ways of thinking that aren't as productive as they need to be. So that's the inner language, our self-talk, if you will. Part number two is the language of becoming super referable. You got to be referable. If you want unsolicited referrals or introductions, and if you're going to be appropriately proactive, you got to be. Now, I was doing a live presentation in front of a group, and I had already made that distinction between referrals and introductions. He says, "Don't you mean introducible?" And I go, "Yeah, I suppose so." Yeah. But again, it's where the, you know, it's just a little easier to say referable. The language of promoting. We're not asking yet. We're promoting. We're encouraging the process. A lot of great ideas there. I got about 11 of them, I think, I give. And then the language of asking without pushing, without begging, without looking like that creepy referral guy. And part 5 is the language of concerns and objections, because not everybody likes to play this game, especially around money. People get a little more private around referrals and introductions. So how do we talk to them about that? How do we back off gracefully if we need to, which in most cases we probably would. And then the language of securing the introduction, right? How do we actually, what do we say? What's in the verbiage there and the technique to get our client to actually introduce us to that new prospect, that friend, family member, colleague of theirs? So those are the 6 parts.
Okay. So as we know, everything begins kind of in here. So could we get an example or two of the inner language of referrals?
Yes. And for those of you listening, Bob was pointing to his head.
Oh, that's right. Not everybody. Yes.
in here, what?
In
your brain.
Anywhere, as far as.
anywhere. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, there's so many. Let me give 2. One of the ways of thinking, if you have the right mindset around this, the right inner language, is you're thinking in terms of the lifetime value of a client. You see, the lifetime value of a client, part of that is the business you can do with them over a lifetime. And in some cases, for some folks listening, that could be pretty darn substantial. And that's great, right? Providing value, they see the value, they stay a client, that's all great. But the other part of that equation that a lot of people don't think about or don't stay focused on is who those people can introduce you to over a lifetime. How can we tap into that full lifetime value of our clients with, you know, again, without being obnoxious, without being aggressive, without hurting relationships? Some people will do it, some people won't. But if we're thinking in terms of the lifetime value, we're going to see the world differently. We're going to look through our relationships with our clients a little bit differently and look for ways to create those introductions. So that's one of the mindsets. Another one is thinking in terms of how do you create the multiplier or compounding effect, right? We talk to clients about the power of compounding, right? Compounded interest over time. Einstein would call it the 8th wonder of the world. Well, I think we could take that same basic concept and put it to our practice and think about the compounding effect of our clients. Because what happens is the more we bring clients into our practice through a referral, through an introduction, those folks are 2.5 times more likely to provide a referral or make an introduction. And what happens over time is this critical mass gets created, just like with a portfolio of assets, right? If they have 20,000, it doubles to 40,000. Oh, that's cool, but that's not much. But if they have 1 million and then it eventually doubles to 2 million, now it's significant. Well, the same effect happens with clients. But to do that, we have to be appropriately proactive. We can't just wait and serve the heck out of our clients, which we need to do, for those unsolicited referrals and introductions if we want to create exponential growth, if we want to put in that compounding or multiplier effect. That's where becoming appropriately proactive comes in. So that's two of the many kind of mindset self-talk that we need to put in place to make all this work as well as possible.
So one of the reasons, Bill, that many advisors work with you is to increase their referability.
Right.
What do you mean by becoming referable? And what are some examples of the language of becoming super referable?
Yeah. So let's see. How can I condense this quickly? First of all, what we do know from the research is that there's a low correlation between satisfied clients and providing referrals or introductions. What we need is engaged clients, people who really feel engaged with the value, with us personally. Talk about that a little bit in the book, how to create those engaged clients. And then the barometer of that, the barometer of your referability or introducibility is unsolicited referrals and introductions. And everyone on this listening to this, I hope you're getting at least some. Whenever I coach, someone approaches me for coaching, and one of the questions is, are you getting some unsolicited introductions? Because if they're not, then we know we got a lot of work to do on that side of the equation before we even think about becoming proactive. So that's a barometer. You're getting at least some. And, you know, for some practices out there, as long as you're getting enough of the right kind of people, then maybe the proactivity isn't quite as important. But there are very few folks that I've talked to over the years that are getting introduced to enough of the right kind. It's usually a quantity issue or a quality issue or sometimes a little bit of both. All right. So some strategies, tactics around this. Well, one that I've been teaching forever, probably for almost 30 years, and I know I'm not the only one who talks about this, but it's the why you believe in the work that you do. It's kind of your emotional connection to the value that you bring to your clients, and putting in it a quick story, a 1-2 minute why story. Jason Jenkins, who I also interviewed for this podcast, called it the founder story. And I encourage you to listen to that because he did a great job. I think it's going to come out live after this one. But it's your emotional connection. And what it does is it creates that personal connection with your clients. And what happens, there's actually brain science, neuroscience that shows this, that when you tell a story and the people are sensing themselves in that story or can relate to the story, then it's like the brains go into synchronicity. So it's a very powerful way to bond and to form a relationship with clients. So that why you believe in your value story. And then another one, which is pretty important, which is checking in with clients on a regular basis around expectations. I call an expectations check. Sometimes I call it a value discussion, but it's Bob, we've been working together for a couple of years now, before we move on with the rest of the agenda, let's put the market aside. Let's put the economy aside. Let's talk about things we can control, which is our communication, our overall working relationship. Is there any place where we're not meeting expectations these days? Any place where we've fallen short on expectations? We've got to have these conversations because it's that stuff that builds up that doesn't get expressed that'll kill a relationship. So in the book, I give you several examples of how do you get into this conversation. We know, everyone listening to this knows, that a relationship that's had a problem that's been handled well is a stronger relationship than one that's never had a problem. So we've got to make sure that those little problems surface and they get expressed and they get cleaned up and then out of the ether, right? Because that's what can sometimes hold folks back in a relationship. So why you believe in your value is one of the things, expressing that in a story, and then having these check-ins with prospects and clients and centers of influence around expectations. And those are two huge things that will help you become referable quickly in new relationships and then remain referable over the lifetime of that relationship.
Yeah, something I loved, and I just want to mention, because I noticed this as I was reading it, when you got into the founder story part, and you know, you were talking, and you said, as you led into it, that this part's a little bit I-focused, which is, of course, we always want to be other-focused, yet you did a beautiful job of tying that into how it affects the other person.
That's the key, that's the key. The key is with this why story. And when I review people's stories, I did a couple yesterday, and they do a pretty good job. But what they don't do sometimes is bring it back to the person they're telling it to. You know, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this. So what happened to me or what happened to that client or what happened to my father or mother, whatever, doesn't happen to you. Because of this, I am now on a mission to make sure that people do get the right advice or do get this checked or whatever. So you got to bring it back to what it means to them. Mm-hmm. And that's the stories can be fairly effective without that, but that's like the turbocharger. That's where they see themselves and why your connection to your value will turn out to be better for them, a benefit for them. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's important.
Oh, my pleasure. So in less than a minute, I'm going to ask you about the best way to ask for introductions and how to turn a client's willingness to refer into an effective connection. But first, let's take a very brief pause to listen to a word from our sponsor, PodRocket Influence Academy, brought to you by Proudmouth. First, they make this podcast possible, and their core business is helping financial advisors accelerate their influence through marketing activities like podcasting.
This podcast is sponsored by Proudmouth, the Influence Accelerators.
Proudmouth.
Tired of chasing potential clients? We help you spend less time selling and more time advising by amplifying your influence over a growing audience of magnetically attracted fans who will chase you down instead. Visit proudmouth.com to learn more.
Be your own loud.
Hey, if you're enjoying this interview and the glimpse into Bill's newest book, The Language of Referrals, I encourage you to share it with others. Hey, tell three of your colleagues all about topadvisorpodcast.com. Bill.
Yes.
Would you agree that most advisors aren't as proactive as they could be or want to be? And why is that?
Yeah, without question. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. When I get called for folks around coaching and consulting around this, almost invariably, and I really hear this multiple times over the course of a month, how do I do this without looking like that creepy referral guy? Sometimes I hear cheesy referral guy. Obviously, they don't want to hurt the relationship. They don't want to feel awkward. They don't want to feel needy, right? So it's all that head trash that goes into this that keeps people from doing this. As I mentioned earlier, it's a lack of confidence. And when you don't feel confident with something, what do you feel? Well, doubt, fear, uncertainty, right? You certainly lack of action. So again, not rocket science. It's just, you know, having the right words, maybe practicing those words a couple of times to build the confidence. Then you take the action. And then you produce the result. And so for some, it's a little bit of inertia. Let me give you a specific example. I had an initial coaching call with a gentleman the day before we're recording this. And he says, Bill, I used to ask for referrals. I kind of know how to do this, but it's been so long. I just need a little, you know, refresher. I need a little kick in the pants to kind of get through that inertia and maybe, you know, make sure I do it in the most effective way, because I've tried a little bit on my own. It's not working like I want. And I just got to refine my technique a little bit. So yeah, that's what's going on there. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's just a lack of not quite sure knowing what to do and how to go into it. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah. What's the difference between promoting introductions and asking for introductions? And can you, I guess, demonstrate some of that through your language?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, part three is promoting introductions, encouraging. Part four is asking. So promoting is encouraging. It's suggesting. It's like, this is what a lot of people will say, and this is fine. Nothing. I'm not criticizing this. You know, I just want to let you know, Bob, that I'm, you know, never too busy to see if I can be a resource for other people you care about, or never too busy to be a resource for those, your colleagues at work, right? That's promoting. That's not asking. Mm-hmm. Some people confuse that.
Right.
And they think they're asking, but they're not. They're promoting. They're encouraging. It's good. Asking is different. You'll see when we get to that in a minute, I know. You're being more specific. You really are looking to get introduced to some specific people. And that's where people start to feel a little uncomfortable. You know, you can get a lot accomplished by being very referable and promoting in several ways. So I'll give you two. There's a lot of ways to do it, but I think I got 9 or 10 in the book. One I've been teaching forever. It's the title of one of my books. I didn't invent the phrase, but I kind of popularized it. And that is, don't keep me a secret. Don't keep the work we do a secret. Don't keep this important work a secret. Don't keep the experience you're going through a secret. Whatever. There's lots of different variations on that. Don't keep me a secret. It never hurts a relationship. Sometimes it gets a little smile because it's a little cute. And I have seen many advisors over the years just say that, and it turns into introductions, referrals right on the spot. Not every time, but it's part of what we're talking about here, Bob, is not just the ask, which we'll get to in a minute. It's a culture that you're creating, a culture of how you do business, how you meet people, how you talk about what you do, how this idea of referrals or introductions is fairly commonplace. And again, in a way, without being obnoxious about it, because there is, I want to make that distinction. And so the don't keep me a secret is just a simple way to help further that culture building. The other one is probably the most effective way to generate unsolicited introductions. And that is to teach your clients how you handle introductions, how you handle referrals. And I'll give you the verbiage right now, and it's in the book in a couple ways you can refer to it, but it goes a little something like this. You know, Bob, a lot of our clients like to introduce the work we do to others. And I just thought, if that opportunity ever presented itself to you, that you know how we'd handle it, what it would look like, so you'd feel comfortable. First of all, the work we do, completely confidential. They will never learn about your financial situation from me, and vice versa. Even with family and close friends, we can't cross that line. Second of all, we handle this sort of thing with great care, meaning I'm not just going to call people from out of the blue and make them wonder, why did Bob give my name out to this guy? No, you and I will talk and we'll craft an introduction that feels comfortable to you. We know it'll feel comfortable to them, your friends, colleagues. And, you know, if we're lucky, maybe we'll spark their interest in talking to me, but we handle this with great care. How does that sound? So I'm not really asking, I'm teaching, but I'm addressing two of the main objections that a lot of advisory clients have around providing referrals or introductions is confidentiality, especially with family and people close to them. They're often concerned around that, believe it or not. And then what is it going to look like? If you haven't talked about what it looks like, then it's an unknown. And therefore, it could be a perceived risk by some, not all, but by a lot. So we're knocking out two of the main concerns or objections at the same time, planting the seed. I often call promoting planting seeds, because these are things you can say early in new relationships. You can remind people over time around this. And then eventually those seeds, you know, bear fruit. So that's what the promoting sounds like.
Fantastic. That's the promoting. What about the actual asking?
Yeah, now there's a lot that goes into this, and I want to be as succinct as possible in the time that we have for the podcast. So I'm going to cut to the chase a little bit here and give you a little verbiage, because we are talking about the language of referrals, and talk about the most powerful component in the asking, which is I often call the bullseye referral, the bullseye ask. And that is specific people you know they know. That's where we want to start with this. What we don't want to do, and it's a mistake everybody's made, I made it too, is open it up to the whole universe and say, who do you know we can help? Or can you think of anyone else who should know about this valuable process, or any variation on that? Everyone's tried it and everyone's seen it fizzle. Yes, occasionally lightning strikes and occasionally it can turn into a result, but most of the time it doesn't, right? So we want to be focused. The goal here, Bob, is to help that referral source, whether they're a client, prospect, center of influence, visualize people in their mind's eye. That's when they come forward with those folks. And so I would start with, you know, Bob, we're just brainstorming here. I've got a couple ideas I'd love to run by you. A couple of folks you mentioned last time we met, and actually a couple of categories of people that really find a lot of value from the work we do. And in fact, you're in one of those categories.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a client may say is, what category am I in?
Category,
or who did I mention last week?
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm narrowing the focus, and it takes a little patience to do it this way. And if you're feeling awkward and skittish around this, you'll go through it too fast and you might not get the result you want. But then I'm going to say, you know, last time we met, or, you know, several months ago, you mentioned your sister and brother-in-law. Assuming we come up with an approach for you to introduce me to them that feels comfortable to them and comfortable to you, would you be open to making that introduction? So I foreshadowed, I said, assuming it's comfortable, we're going to make it comfortable, right? And, you know, you also mentioned your Uncle Ernie. I know he owns a business. We do a lot of work with small business owners. Again, assuming we come up with an approach that feels comfortable for everyone, would you be open to that? Then I could go to the categories, you know, money in motion, life events. I could say, you know, you came to me because you had a shift in your financial situation. You sold some property and you realized it was time to talk to someone and make sure you handle the money right and just get your whole financial plan in place and house in order. And that's what prompted you to talk to me. And that's usually what happens. When people seek out an advisor, it's usually because something's been triggered, a life event, what we call in this business, money in motion. So why don't we start with people selling property? Gosh, anybody else come to mind who sold a piece of property? Now, you may say, no, I don't know anybody. And you say, that's fine. You know, we're just brainstorming. I have one more idea I'd like to run by you, right? So we're showing them it's not going to be open-ended forever. I'm not writing 1 to 10 on a piece of paper, hoping you're going to give me 10 names. That's an old methodology I don't subscribe to anymore. Used to. And so we're clear on what we're looking to do here and who we're going to get introduced to or how we're going to get you focused. One more thing here. And I know time is short, so we're going to have to keep moving, but make sure you get buy-in to have this conversation. Don't assume that someone is willing to have this. In my process, I call it permission to explore, permission to brainstorm. So I could say, you know, Bob, I'm glad you're seeing the value in the work we're doing. And, you know, I'm kind of on a mission to bring this important work and help other people make educated financial decisions that are in their best interest. I've got a couple of ideas in mind, a couple of folks you might feel comfortable introducing me to. Can we chat about that a little bit? Right. Can we chat about that? Can I run this by you? Can we talk about that for a minute? Can we brainstorm? Right. A lot of different ways to do this. You want to find the words that are perfect and natural for you. But the point is you're making it a safe space where I'm not assuming. That's the big mistake that so many people have made over the years, is they're too assumptive around this. And a lot of people who feel uncomfortable asking for introductions, one of the reasons why is they don't feel comfortable being assumptive because they feel like now they're pushing the client to do something the client doesn't want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to that. This is not a push. We don't push anybody to do anything we don't want them to do. We're checking in to see if they're open to doing it. And for those who are, great. And for those who aren't, that's cool too.
Yeah, you know, I need to bring up, and I have a question I want to ask you, but I thought of this as you were speaking, and I thought this was so brilliant. You have a wonderful fallback phrase that you use. We're just brainstorming. Mm. Wow,
and Bob, you know,
right off.
I love it personally, and you know what? Over the years of doing this, I've run into some advisors who don't like the word because it's not natural to them. It's not a word they would say. And I say, that's fine. Find the right words for you. That's what the book's about. Mm-hmm. So some people say explore.
Just explore, right.
Some people say, you know, we're just exploring. That's right. We're just putting our heads together a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're just, let's collaborate. There's a lot of different other words for brainstorming. I personally love it because with brainstorming, what does it mean? It's like no pressure. It's got a few ideas. Exactly. Let's run them up the flagpole and see mm-hmm. if anything stays.
Yeah, the principle is the key. It's a beautiful principle. Just use the word that you feel comfortable with. Exactly.
Yes.
Not all advisory clients, obviously, like to participate in the referral introduction process. Right. What are some of those reasons? And how can the language of referrals maybe mitigate some of that resistance?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff around here, around this. You know, some people have had bad experience in the past. Some people are super private. And somehow they mistakenly think that their information might be revealed in some way. Some people just don't go there at all. And you'll find some clients just won't go there. I mean, I make the joke that you could run into a burning building and save their children. They wouldn't participate in this process. So there's lots of little reasons. The key here is the most important element of dealing with concerns, objections, resistance, whatever word you put on it. And this is true, by the way, Bob, for any resistance we get from anyone in our life, period, except for teenagers. When it comes to teenagers, there's nothing that good, solid reasoning won't aggravate a little further. But generally speaking, what we want to find out is the reason for the concern, for the resistance. Some people call it the objection behind the objection, but there's a reason for it, right? If someone says, you know, I don't like to give referrals. I just don't do this. That's fine. I know some people don't. Just validate a little bit and say, you know, could you tell me more? Magic words. I love these words. I have a section in the back of the book called Power Phrases.
That was great.
And I put a little emphasis on this one. This is one of them. Tell me more. Whenever you say, tell me more to someone, whatever the context, what are they going to do? They're going to tell you more. And so you're going to learn. The goal here with objections, the first thing is to learn. Learn their perspective. Tell me a little more about that. Have you had a bad experience? Then in that, sometimes you realize they may have a mistaken thinking around this. They may think that you're asking for names and phone numbers. You're going to call their friends. But when you show them that, no, you're not asking for that. In fact, there could be some very comfortable, safe ways to introduce where they email their friend first, or, you know, we meet over breakfast, lunch, dinner, golf, round of golf, whatever, that there's a lot of very safe, comfortable ways to do that. So once they realize that, then they can open up. And that's kind of the reframe to the concern. And sometimes we just got to back off. My colleague, Barry Alberstein, calls it the graceful exit. I usually call it the emergency exit because I like to have a little fun with it. But it'll go like this, right? There's two. I'll give you two of them. Look, Bob, that's fine. Look, I just wanted you to know that I'm never too busy to see if I can be a resource for other people you care about. Fair enough? Yeah, fair enough, right? Or another one could be, hey, Bob, that's fine. You know, when the time is right, just, you know, you identify someone you think should at least be aware of what I do. Please don't keep me a secret. I'm never too busy to see if I can be a resource for others. Fair enough, or makes sense? And you go, yeah, it makes sense. So, you know, the truth is, in most cases, you probably are going to back off because you really don't want to push anyone to do anything they don't want to do. But you won't fear them, because knowing what to do in these circumstances, knowing what to do when someone is uncertain about moving forward with this conversation, if you don't know what to do there, if you don't feel confident with concerns and objections, then you won't ask, right? For fear that you might get a concern or objection and you don't know what to do with it. So that you know, again, you're going to explore, you're going to learn, you may reframe, you may back off, but you won't be afraid of it anymore. It won't be a reason not to ask. You'll realize you can do this and never hurt a relationship and live to maybe do it down the road another day.
Fantastic. Okay, so what's left in the process? Getting introduced, right? So
yeah,
how about a sample from the language of introductions?
Sure. So the goal of the introduction, I kind of take a page from the Food and Drug Administration. Before COVID, nobody knew what this was. What is the Food and Drug Administration looking for when it approves a drug for the market? Well, safe and effective, right? All right. That's what we want for introductions. You've heard me use this a little bit already. You want it to feel safe, comfortable for the parties involved. That's what they want, right? Their main concern, their primary thing here in making an introduction is to protect the relationship. And you respect protecting the relationship. You're happy to help them do that, of course. And you also want to get connected. So that's the effective side, right? Safe, feels comfortable, but also effective, hopefully, right? So the one of the biggest mistakes I've seen folks make around this is they don't really use that relationship between the introducer, we'll call them the introducer, and the prospect well enough, that the leveraging that borrowed trust and then information that that introducer, that client that's creating this introduction knows about this, that their prospect. You're trying to create safe and effective. And effective means relevant. So it's got to be a relevant introduction. And so therefore, a couple of questions you can ask. You know, tell me something that's going on in George and Laura's life these days. It's important to them. What's on their life's radar right now? Or if you're getting introduced to a business owner, you know, what's happening in her business right now that's really significant? What you're trying to do is see, you know that money intersects all aspects of one's life, all aspects of one's life. And so when you find out what's going on in their life, if there's a fairly clear tie between the work you do, financial planning, investment advice, insurance, et cetera, then that becomes the reason for the introduction and your follow-up. You create a more relevant introduction. What's going on in their life is life or life. So that's one thing that you want to learn. Another thing you want to ask is, how do you think they'll react to this introduction? Is this something you guys talk about much? Right. So you want to get a feel for this. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to, you and the introducer, come up with the approach, the right approach, that's going to feel comfortable for everybody and is going to hopefully be relevant enough to spark the interest of that prospect so that they set up that first initial Zoom call with you or whatever that first thing is you want to do. So I like to say, how would you like to introduce me to George? Let's talk about that. Or I might say, you know, Laura, my guess is you want to talk to George. You want George to hear from you before she hears from me. Let's talk about what that might look like and how we can do that efficiently. So the language here is it's a collaborative effort. We're working through this together to make it safe and effective. And we're not done until we create the connection, right? If someone brings up a potential introduction or you ask for it, doesn't matter. We're not done until we get connected, or at least have arranged for the connection. And so that's where this breaks down a lot for a lot of folks is this spot here of actually getting connected. So in the book, we give a lot of different language around email handshakes, email introductions, three-way Zoom is a very popular way to do it now. So we give a lot of language on how to do that.
Bill, before we conclude, how can our listeners learn more about your great new book and all the other tools that you provide financial professionals?
Yes, thank you. So languageofreferrals.com, www.languageofreferrals.com. It's a little landing page, a little video, information on the book. Our main website is referralcoach.com, but I really want to direct you to this book. We have it in audio. We have it in Kindle. We have it in paperback. And then you'll register the book and you'll have access to the Language of Referrals toolkit, which will then give you language to the referral, the video short course, and all kinds of other tools. So languageofreferrals.com. Thank you.
Bill Cates, this has been so much fun. Easy to see why so many people in this profession refer to you as a legend. Congratulations again.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob. Bob Berg is a master, ladies and gentlemen. You can tell how naturally he is doing this. He's the co-author of the Go Giver series. Bob, I sincerely appreciate you.
My pleasure. Likewise.
To you, the listener of this show, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention one of our most popular resources designed to help you acquire more right fit clients. And that's our newest, even better than before, Academy for Relationship Marketing. It's ready to help you build a strong referral culture of client acquisition through personal introductions. After all, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is how most of your ideal clients prefer to meet you. Right, a recommendation from someone else they already trust. So do yourself a favor, visit thecatesacademy.com. It's in the show notes, thecatesacademy.com. And if you decide to look into this, don't forget coupon code TCA200, DKates Academy, TCA200. You'll save $200 off the already affordable tuition. And so this is Bill Cates reminding you that ideas do not make you more successful. Only acting on those ideas will bring you the success you desire. Thanks for stopping by. Thank you for listening to the Top Advisor Podcast. brought to you by Proud Mouse Pod Rocket Academy. I encourage you to visit my website, referralcoach.com, for links to my books, online courses, and to register for the Cates Academy.